Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke!
Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. Ain't no Luke here, guys. Just me and Evan. Hi, Evan. How you doing, buddy?
Fairly decent, my friend. How are you?
I like to hear that. I'm all right, man. We're going to have a great show today. I have the microphone, so you will all have to listen to every word I say. So it's going to be fantastic, especially since you're hearing us in all these new different markets. We're going to add another one over the next week and maybe another two over the next month. It's going to be insane. But right now you should be hearing me in Richland Center, out in Amory, out in Madison, and here in Waukesha as well. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Because when Luke likes to leave me alone, see, Luke is the news guy here, right? Luke is the guy that drives the news and keeps everybody on task.
Yep, he does read the news on occasion. Yeah.
He's also the Eagle Scout of the group. He's the Eagle Scout who actually... See, I'm the Life Scout who could have been an Eagle Scout but just didn't follow through with everything.
He wears the medal proudly on his chest every day.
Which, again, we got to have a talk about that. But that's beside the point. But the thing is, Luke usually keeps me on task and, you know, keeps the thing rolling, keeps us grounded to reality. But when Brian takes over... Well, we're going to get into some theology, a little bit of thinking more. Not that Luke isn't into thinking; he's great in philosophy and things like that. But he also realizes we're doing a show and we need to finish it at some point, and wrap our ideas up. So today, whenever I have a chance, plus you know, since I've been running around the state doing superhero type of things, blah blah blah. At least that's what Luke likes to describe. For me, it's just being sweaty and in a field in the middle of nowhere. It's a lot of the work. That and sweaty hunched over a computer going, please work, please work, please work, please,
please
work.
Please, oh my, please.
So when I have a lot of time alone, I've been driving a lot, so I have a lot of things to think about. You know, and I'm up in my head, and not all the time am I so cabin feverish that I'm, you know, screaming, you know, Air Supply songs while singing it as Megadeth, that type of stuff. Dave Mustaine as Air Supply is a really fun thing to do. In any case, here I am, the one that you love.
Oh, come on. Come
asking
on.
Asking for another day.
Ooh.
In any case, I do take a minute to go and think about ponder the mysteries of life, as it were. I was a philosophy minor, so I enjoy these little deep things. And today I was spurred on by... again, all the attack ads. I like to complain about all the attack ads that are out there from both sides, by the way. And again, I hate the both sidesism type of thing. But I did see a Tony Evers ad against Tim Michaels, and it was basically a stalking video.
Goes pretty hard. Yeah.
Of someone stalking this woman who was going to an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
And yeah, the dude had tracking data, and yeah, he did do targeted ads and things like that. Those are some shady things. But they made it seem like Tim Michaels is... peeping Tom type of thing, walking around and checking on people and that type of stuff.
It went pretty hard.
And they had like, you know, they had words like stalk, apprehend, like just giant fear words, like in bold white lettering in between the darkened like images and stuff. And I'm like, come on, people.
When they go low, we get in the gutter.
Yeah. And look, there's you want to fight back. And yes, I don't want to pretend that, you know, Tim Michaels is this wonderful person, but let's not think that, like, you know, yeah, his company had problems. His company had sexual harassment problems and probably didn't deal with them as good as he should have, but it's not like he had meetings and said, all right, guys, let's get our hands out there.
We don't know that, okay? Let's be fair.
But there's a really good likelihood that didn't happen.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And my point is that the picture that people paint is so extreme to kind of drag them over to the point where they're kind of like, well, maybe he is a little creepy, you know, which again, he is a little creepy, but again, I don't think he's having meetings going, gentlemen, let's sit here and figure out how we can touch every woman and make them feel
uncomfortable.
Steepled
fingers and all.
Yeah, it's steepled fingers for sure. The evil, good.
On the flip side of that, have you seen Mandela Barnes' response to Rojo's attacks?
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. Some of them, like he's
one of them, just straight up rebutting, just saying it isn't true. How do you feel about that take? You know, taking that path.
The defending oneself and saying it's not true type
of
thing?
Yeah, sort of recognizing, you know, speaking out loud the attack they're making against you and just saying it's a lie.
It feels like you're taking the bait, but again, you're speaking your truth. And I think the hard thing is that it's an intangible thing you're dealing with. You're dealing with people's fear.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with worrying. You know, you're dealing with the... I mean, look, I love... SVU. I love Law and Order SVU. In fact, one of my favorite things is, again, just like is the opening of it, you know, the dun-dun type of stuff. And then but even if you watch that, like you see rolling across the screen, the word molestation and like an empty swing. It looks like an attack ad on any political opponent, honestly.
And Christopher Maloney is a boss. If we're talking classic SVU,
that's the real SVU.
That's everything some of the most intense network television that has ever been aired.
Yeah, but you do that, and you watch that for a while, and you're like, I don't understand how anybody could ever go out of their house.
That's right.
Because you're going to get raped or killed the second you leave your house. Every day. All day.
Yep.
And it got me to snowball this thought about how, yes, we talk about politicians stoking fear all the time, but we honestly are in an age, especially, where we walk around afraid all the time, even when you think you're not. Here's an example. How many of you out there locked your house today and really made sure you locked your house and was worried and maybe even had to double check you locked your house? How many times have you come back to find the house, the door tried?
I mean, tried is a real, you know, how many times do you look, right? How many times are you approaching your home after work or something and you're looking for pry marks?
My contention is locking your house is more of an impediment to you than to any robber that would come in and steal things at your house.
I've always believed that if they want to get in, they're getting in. Let's be real here.
If you get locked out of your house, you're going to try and call a locksmith or something so you don't have to break a pane of window in your house.
Yeah.
If you are going to steal something from someone's house, you won't care enough. You will break a pane of window and open their window and get in.
You'll kick in the door. Usually,
you won't do it when someone's there. If someone is there or a dog is there,
Thank you.
Usually won't go in.
Love you, Zelda.
You know? And my point is that we lock our doors all the time, and again, like I'm not telling you not to lock your doors. This is not the thing I'm telling you to do. I'm not saying leave your car out there all the time for people to do. But my point is that for the most part, if you do the math, you're impeding yourself for your own sense of security more than you're actually impeding anyone who is actually trying to steal anything.
You're going to end up a horror movie cliche. You're fumbling with your keys as the adrenaline pumps and your heart rate increases and the stalker, you know, closes in on you and then you drop them.
Whereas if you're just like me and left the car unlocked all the damn time, you just, all right, cool.
There we go.
You know, because my point is that at least they won't damage the car when they're trying to break in. Because when they recover it, maybe they'll be like, all right, thanks, man. Yeah. I don't know. I guess my point is we constantly live in a situation where we're worried about something. You know, I hear suburban people talk about going to Chicago as if the second you walk into the city limits, you're going to get shot.
Chirac, yep.
but I lived uptown Chicago. That's a C-minus crime rating area. That place is, the shootings happened. Carjackings happened on my street.
Yeah.
But I walked up and down just fine. I'm also a 6'5", 340-pound dude.
Now. Well, it's interesting how it feeds, you know, sort of planning your life as though you're about to be a victim makes you look like a victim, and people pick on weak people, right?
But even that, like, my point is that if you're going to end up getting mugged, or you're going to end up getting, you know, taken advantage of or carjacked or something,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be when you're vigilant. It's going to be when you're enjoying yourself or not paying attention, because then you become an easy mark.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be whether you locked your door or not. It's not going to be whether you were, you know, afraid before you. My point is we spend so much time, like passwords. How many times do you have to re-enter your password? How many times do you have to enter? Like, that stuff gets more, and the people who can hack into your account can get past your password whether you have 50 different at symbols or not.
Yeah.
You know? It's more of a pain in the butt for you. But again, once it happens, it's like insurance. You know?
Well, that's sort of the thing. It's effective, you know? They wouldn't spend millions of dollars putting this stuff out there if it didn't work on some level.
And again, I guess my point isn't trying to tell you that fear is wrong or fear is bad or we should eliminate fear and not again, you don't want to walk around in fear all the time. You don't want to live like, oh my God, everything is going to destroy. You can't live like that. You can't be in it all the time. But like pain, fear is an indicator. Fear gives you, you know, if you're afraid, you get a bunch of adrenaline, you know. You get fight or flight. You get the instincts of someone who needs to run.
Yeah.
But it's an indicator and it helps you, but you can't let it rule your life. And again, because of the cycles we live in, because of the way that our society is built, you better be afraid. And you better be afraid of anyone who is going to prison or prison is afraid. But again, we use prison as a deterrent, right? You should be afraid of going to prison. That's why you shouldn't commit crimes, right? Somehow that doesn't work either, does it?
That's right. Maybe it's not. Maybe the deterrent isn't the punchline here.
Fear should not be the deterrent.
Yeah.
Because it only works to guide people. It doesn't actually. When you activate fear, you don't know what kind. It's unpredictable. You don't know where people are going to go. Even people you know forever, if they are triggered by fear, you never know who they're going to lash out at. And for example, you stoked enough fear the last couple of years, and next thing you know, you got an insurrection on January 6th.
Yeah,
and it's not like those people justified. That day got triggered that day. Those people had been living in fear for a long time.
Where they felt justified committing horrible, horrible crimes.
Yeah, and it takes a while to get there, but again, it all starts with overly locking your doors and making sure everything is password protected. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do these things. I'm more saying that a lot of times, and especially in today's society, it gets in the way more than it actually does help. Give me a call, 844-967-2789. I'm going to hit some headlines, but I want you to keep this in mind as we go forward. Come on, y'all. Let's take a ride. Welcome back, everybody. Come on, y'all. Let's take a ride. Don't just say a word. Just get inside. It's time to take your way. This is good old Coolio.
R.I.P., my friend.
One of my first, introductions into the quote-unquote gangster rap. This was on the MTV when I was growing up. I was a young 16-year-old man, and they were young man playing a lot of being at the beach with a lot of scantily clad ladies, things like that. Lots of fun. So I kind of got up there, and that's how I got into a little bit of gangster rap. It was really weird living in New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire, growing up and hearing a bunch of stuff like this, and basically an entirely different lifestyle, an entirely different thing. And
that's the whole point, man. Sell it to the masses. Figure out how to package it.
Because it was weird. Like, I couldn't relate to it in that, like, that's not my life. But again, those beats were sick.
Oh, they were great,
man. And they just, like, I'm still into it. It still flows right through you. I haven't heard that song. Fantastic Voyage. I haven't heard that song in like 10, 15 years at least.
I heard the Slim Shady EP in like 2001. You know, I grew up in Fort Atkins, and come on, guys. Oh, it was great. It was great.
Yeah. That happened. Coolio died. We cardiac arrest. Not sure what exactly happened, but R.I.P. Coolio. Here's some headlines for you. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a clever transition. I'm not going to bother with transitioning to you.
Transition will be self-evident.
So yesterday, It was revealed that, you know, Fred Prynne, oh my goodness, conspired with, oh my goodness, the Senate to stay longer in his office. Oh my goodness. But it turns out it's not just Fred Prynne. Three Technical College System board members still serving 16 months after time expires. That's this is from WPR, and basically the idea is there's three people on the Wisconsin Technical College System board, right, that are still there, appointees by Governor Scott Walker, and they began their six-year terms in 2016, and as you would have it, if you do some math, 6 years later, 2022. They should be gone by now. They expired in May of a year and a half ago. But they're still there. But the fun part is because the people that have been appointed by Tony Evers get to hang out, and the three people who are not seated on the board get to be at the board meetings and participate in the meetings, but not vote on anything. So they're in there. Imagine being in training for over a year and still like, I can do the job. You guys just need to go. But they can't because, again, we're in a wonderful catch-22 that is backed up by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Evers makes his appointments, but they can't take office until the legislature approves them. Well, the legislature's been out of session since March, and that's a fun catch-22 because that means that they can go and use... Oh, sorry. They haven't appointed anybody new, so now Fred Prynne gets to stay on board on the DNR.
It's wild.
It is, and again, they're banking on you being afraid and fearful of black people in Milwaukee and Kenosha and things like that, and they're making you afraid of non-existent teachings in your schools, and they're talking about all these, oh my goodness, there's immigrants coming in.
When we're slowly installing despots at all, you know, in all corners of our government, it's wild.
And again, the people who are quoted here are talking about. Here's a Klecker. Klecker is one of the people who is sitting on the sidelines watching. He can see there are some obvious political implications happening with the NRB situation, but he doesn't see a parallel with his situation, right? At the meetings, this is the technical college, right? At the meetings I've been at, there's nothing political about the tech college system board. It's the senators that need to do their job and hold an up or down vote on his appointment or others. The point is that the tech college, they're moving on. They have business to do. The DNR has business to do. Like there are things that we need to do to run the state. Water. Having clean water, having the water work, having your garbage cleaned up, having your streets cleaned.
Microplastics. That type of stuff,
that's not political. But they're not being run correctly because you have people sitting in meetings that can't vote on things, but they're actually kind of a part of it, but they're kind of not. And it doesn't make any sense. You're actually politicizing things that don't need to be politicized.
Yeah.
Do you want to know how many people are in this situation?
You're hitting on something.
Over 150 people. 150 unconfirmed Evers appointees right now. That's contempt for you, the voter, assuming that you are too afraid of other things like, oh my goodness, the failing schools, which aren't failing, and the failing this, and the crime that's happening the second you walk out your doorstep, and all these horrible things that happen.
But didn't you hear? Black children can't read at all. 0% proficiency.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. Wow. By the way, that's just a ridiculous talking point.
I know, but my point is that if they're so worried about stuff, and again, most of them, all right, what MPS school does your kid go to? Oh, they don't?
Well, you don't even have one?
What are you talking about?
Interesting.
What are you talking about? Do you have any idea? You can't fund two systems, but again, when you're worried about things like this, you can't... You're worried about things like the stuff that's not actually taught in schools, and you're attacking teachers all the time. Nobody wants to teach in Wisconsin anymore. That's half the problem.
Yeah,
because you've been attacking teachers for 10 years instead of looking at things like, gee, maybe we should actually run the DNR correctly. Maybe we should have our senators and our legislators show up and do their job that they're paid for full time to do. honestly, it's just an up or down vote on people to appoint. And if you want to go and, you know, let's keep on saying no and stuff, at least do it that way.
They could do
at
it
least
remote.
Show that you've worked.
They could do it remote. Let's get real.
Do an up or down remote and have everybody say no, so Evers has to appoint more people. And then we can see how ridiculous you are that way. But I guess it's easier just to quit and walk away. All because you're afraid of some other crap that it doesn't even matter. We're going to go and... oh, man, this is a... I'm going to say
it's
this is an exploitative video.
I can't see the video. I'm just over here jiving.
You can see it in your mind. You know what it is. They're all getting out of the trunk of the car, and man. All right, we'll see you later, guys. I'll talk to you on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Luke today. He's getting a much deserved time off. Hopefully he can check out. I'm Brian. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Evan is lately screening your phone calls. I was talking earlier today about fear, and this is why I'm playing I'm Afraid of Americans by the late, great David Bowie. A little bit of a collaboration with Trent Reznor. Pretty awesome. I'm afraid of Americans. And the idea I brought up earlier is that we live in a constant state of fear. Fear of worrying about this. Fear of worrying about that. And, you know, it's again, I don't want to get rid of fear. I want to use it correctly. And I think too many people try and prey on people's fears all the time. Fear of missing out. Fear of worrying about whether the person next to you has something better than you. And that's the thing that drives you a lot. You know, it's not healthy when it's too much. You know, and I use the political ads that we see all the time with the big, giant, bold letters and fear and difference and scared. Like, you know, if you walk out on the street of Milwaukee every day, you're going to get shot no matter what. When most of the time, if you just walk in, like, say, a rough neighborhood, as long as, like, it's not like people walk out in the middle of the street and just beat the crap out of people. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, there's usually a reason behind most of the situations. Very, very, very rarely, unless you have, I don't know, let's say, a right-wing extremist little boy who comes out with an AR-15 and shoots everybody in his classroom. Most
truly
of the time,
random acts of violence are, I mean, there's, you know, 350 million people in this country. By yes. Random chance, a lot of crazy stuff is going to happen, but random acts of violence are rare.
Yeah, and I think we need to look at things like the cause of why. What gives somebody the... What puts someone in a situation where they want to go and break into your house and take your stereo or your TV, you know?
Thank you. By the way, I mean, there's this disease of despair, right?
Yeah.
We're not considering it as a society.
I mean, again, there's carjackings. What makes that person want to carjack? And yeah, there are kids out there that are bored right now, and they do it not even out of any sort of.
Yeah, there's no impetus there. Some people are bored and cruel
in doing that, but for the most part, it's out of desperation. It's because you're in a situation where your life says, "Yeah, I don't care enough." You know, when you murder somebody, for the most part, you're not a serial killer. Most murders happen out of domestic violence. Most gun violence, anyway, occurs out of domestic violence. You know, you got to attack the root causes. But again, if you're so blinded by the fear, you're not caring about the technical aspects of it. You're just worried you're going to get shot at every given second. You're going to go to Milwaukee. We're all going to die. You know, and that's just not the case. You gotta, I mean, right? Sure, some people might be weird on the subway in Chicago, but or the L, but they're not going to just randomly beat up a stranger. I hear, sure, you'll hear about that every now and then, but is it? There's got to be more to the situation most of the time. I've been out there. I've seen things. I know how people work, even if I disagree with them. You know, like CJ, we're going to bring him on in a second. But if I met him out in public, it's not like I'm random because I disagree with him. I'm randomly going to start beating the crap out of him. I doubt he'd do the same for me. Are you going to come at me, CJ, if I disagree with you in public? How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call, guys. You know, I love listening to you minimize the surge of crime throughout this country.
All right, you're not even paying attention, man. It's not what I'm saying, man. I'm trying to tell you that for the most part, crime doesn't happen out of no impetus, my man.
Beautiful.
Crime sometimes happens I asked you a question. Are you going to come at me as a joke? And you couldn't even respond to that as a regular person. You're just there here to go and sound off. So
yeah, you got to come in hot with those OAN talking points, man. How else are you going to get through to the libs?
It's not, but my point is, I was using a Democratic ad to go and prove my point about the fear thing. It's not, it's everybody. And you bring up the crime stats as if it's somebody's issue. Well, go look at the crime stats in Jacksonville. Go look at the crime stats in Bakersfield.
It's not pretty.
There's Republican cities and Republican-led cities that are worse off than other Democratic cities. In general, when people get together more, there's a more likely chance of crime. The closer people are in proximity, it's a really better chance of people losing their handle and flying off the handle and doing something bad. It's what happens in larger cities. If you've ever lived in one, like I have, you know that. I lock my doors in the city. I wouldn't necessarily lock them in the suburbs because the likelihood of someone just going down and randomly testing doors is a lot higher in the city than it is in the suburbs. Does it mean that we should fear and, oh my gosh, we got to go and have more police that beat people more and put more people in jail and have no thoughts about how, you know, those outcomes are? Because to hear them say it, they just want more people to punish more. But then what is the ending of that? What's the ending of that? What, like, you know, it's a correctional facility. Are you correcting anything or are you just locking them away and forgetting about it and then ruining their lives for the rest of their time? And what does that do? What does that do for anybody? Let's take another call. Let's see what Joe in Madison has to say. How you doing, Joe?
Very good, and congratulations on the expanding empire, you two. It's really wonderful and something to be celebrated, and I celebrate it every day. I wanted to just first respond to CJ and then get to my concerns. The first is that the surge of crime, there isn't a surge of crime. I believe the crime numbers are down overall in the United States, and you are correct to point out that the higher numbers tend to be in, you know, we don't like higher numbers at all, but they tend to be in unexpected places like Bakersfield, you know, a Republican stronghold. And the reasons for going into that are complex. It's close to a prison, and oftentimes the prison has gang members that are released from the prison. Some may stay in Bakersfield. They've had a long, you know, it's not one thing, and it's very easy, I think, sometimes to think it's one thing that causes any one particular situation. And to that point, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about your subject of fear. I think it's a really great one, and I'm going to take a little bit of issue with you about a couple of things. The first thing is that I don't think that fear was what generated what was going on in January 16th or 6th. I think that was resentment, and that was grievance, and it was a push for power. I don't think it had to do with fear. And I think when it comes to immigrants, I don't know that people are afraid of immigrants. I think instead there are more complex things going on there, like fear of losing their jobs, perhaps. We're not mm-hmm. of individual immigrants. I think, you know, there's so many. There's your hotel staff, the sweet person that you see, you know, cleaning your room, or the guy in the roofing crew, or the gardener, or whatever. It for many people, not me, but if they have a large staff, there are immigrants around them all the time. And so I don't know if there's fear of immigrants. It's more of a reaction, I guess, to the sense of I might be losing my job while immigrants are getting in here, whatever. But I wanted to go back to this idea of where one feels safe. And you had a line that you said, Brian, it was an interesting one. You said you're talking about fear and you're saying you can't live like that. And I wanted to just interject that I think you can if you're a woman or a black man, because I think you have to.
You kind of have to.
You have to be watchful and wary. And to that point, there was a book that I read that was very helpful to me. The book was called, it was by a guy named Gavin Becker, I believe his name is. He does security services. And the title of the book is The Gift of Fear. And it's an interesting look at how women particularly tend to not listen to the little cues that say, this is a bad situation, this may be getting bad, I am afraid right now, that they won't give themselves permission to feel fear. And the example that he used is the kind of guy that won't leave you alone, he's going to carry your groceries up for you and won't take no for an answer. No, 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 I'll take them for you. No, let me get them through the door for you. Here, I'll set them on the kitchen table for you. And the entire time, the woman is feeling this sense of, this isn't good. This guy's in my apartment, in my life. I want him out of here. And to me, that relates back to this proposal or this situation that our Republican gubernatorial candidate is seemingly A-OK with, which is this stalking of women as they're headed toward Planned Parenthood centers. You know, we want to watch them and see them and record that they're there. And then what? You know, we're just going to send her, you know, targeted messages. And then what? Are you going to stop me? Are you going to, you know, get me on the highway and run me down because I had the... It's just that's what causes fear, is a sense of being stalked. So I would say that it's a great subject, and I'm really glad you bring it up. And I would have to say, you know, in response to what makes people feel safe, I feel safe when I'm around people. I don't think that somebody's going to haul off and beat me up or rape me on a city street if there are a lot of people around. If it's late at night, I walk on the busiest street that I can because that's where I feel safest, where there are other people around. So at any rate, great subject, and really glad you're tackling it. Thanks a lot, guys.
For sure, Joe, and thank you for reminding me again. I'm a big white dude, and I don't live the life of a woman. I don't live the life of a black man, and that is absolutely true. Thank you for calling me out on that, because you have to. You kind of have to learn to feel like that. And you bring up the situation of a woman not knowing or not responding to the telltale signs that, you know, the situation isn't right. If you live a constant life full of fear when you don't know whether that's just a regular, I'm afraid of dudes in general, because dudes in general are, you know, or is it, you know, or are you blinded to the obvious signs because you have so many regular ones on your day-to-day basis? And I guess that's what I'm getting at. You know what I mean? If you're constantly in that state, you're going to end up reacting you're going to have an abscess. You're going to have a sore that you're going to just live with and that you kind of skin grows over. You know what I mean?
And you can get to the point that you're literally cheering the degradation of society. You can be like CJ, where you can hear the giddiness in his voice when he reads some of these stats. He's excited about it. I mean, it's sick.
And again, you can only do so much, and you can only live that way so much before it really, really starts to affect you. And again, if you want to go and talk about crime, if you seriously, really want to talk about crime and crime statistics and nearly any bad thing in society, I say it every time and I'll say it again. You take a map of any crime statistics or anything that's heart disease, longevity, teen pregnancy, pregnancy out of wedlock, divorce, violence, anything. Map it against a map of poverty. It's pretty much exactly the same map. If you want to fight against most of this, fight against poverty. Make it so that it's really hard to fall through the cracks. Make it so it's... And you want to go and talk about welfare queens, you tell me about Brett Favre. Don't tell me about
Burn. Call the burn unit.
Screw that guy.
Oh, my
screw
goodness.
That guy.
Goodness gracious.
He's a piece of crap and deserves every bit of scorn. And that should be on. We should talk about it every day.
Thank you.
Just want to remind everybody that Brett Favre is a piece of crap.
Thank you.
He stole money from poor people and used it for a volleyball stadium. Good for him.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy.
It's dumb enough that people are like, but again, there's a certain segment of people out there who are like, well, at least they took it from welfare, right?
Yeah. Bingo.
And it's fear over those people getting something that maybe they didn't deserve. You know who didn't deserve a freaking volleyball stadium? Anything to do with Brett Favre. You know who could have done it by himself with his own endorsements or anything? Brett Favre. You know, if Brett Favre didn't, like, already pissed away all of his money, like because he's a piece of crap and doesn't know how to handle himself and used to getting everything he wants anyway. Maybe he could have asked one of his rich a-hole buddies to go and sponsor a state. No, no, no. They don't want to do that either. Oh, yeah.
Welfare.
Most of the people that get all the money and get all the free stuff and take it away from us hard-earning taxpayers are the ones who already have all the money and all the power. Those are the people we got to be afraid of because those are the ones telling mm-hmm. you that you should be afraid of everybody else. Because that way, if you stop for a second and look around, you realize, oh, yeah, those are the people that are really messing this thing up. It's the lack of access to things like groceries and education and, you know, any sort of upward mobility. If you get to a point where you say, F it, well, that's when you go and say, you know what, I don't mind killing this person or stealing their car or whatever, because it doesn't matter. What are you going to do to me? Take stuff away from me? I got nothing.
Diseases of despair.
Now the night has gone, now the night has gone away. Doesn't seem that long, we hardly had two words to say.
Hold me in your arms for just another day. Black tooth grin.
Promise.
We have the right, you know. We have the right, you know.
Yeah, this is what I do in my car while I'm driving across the state. I blast Air Supply and sing it as a heavy metal band. That's pretty much what I do. Either that or I do Madonna songs with Johnny Cash. That's fun, too. Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I got Evan with me today. Evan's always with us. He's lightly screening your phone calls at 844-967-2789. We're talking about fear. We're talking about things that have to do with fear, and a lot of it is informing our politics today. I do have some wonderful news to share with you today. Let me get to two headlines, then we'll get back to the calls, and we'll finish up the show here. New public policy survey, public policy polling, PPP. Not the loans that Robin Voss also got. Welfare Queen. Anyway, survey finds that a large majority, 84% of voters, have seen, heard, or read a lot of some of the investigation of what happened on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol and events leading up to it. Americans support the investigation by a 20-point margin, 55-35, and a majority say the January 6th investigation is important to protecting democracy. There are also three tactics standing out to most voters as major threats to democracy. 83% say that politicians changing the rules of voting to benefit their party is a major threat. That's 84% of Democrats, 84% of independents, and 80% of Republicans. Huh. 72% say politicians overturning elections results when they don't win is a major threat. Notice the difference in numbers here. 89% of Democrats, 63% of Republicans, and 61% of independents. 69% say politicians who lie and spread conspiracies to undermine elections results is a major threat, including 89% of Democrats and 58% of Republicans and 58% of independents. Even though it's less, it's still more than a majority, for sure. So, again, we're worried about this group of people who are going to go out and, you know, shoot up everything after November when they lose, because I think they might. And I honestly think that those people are really, really few, even though that they reared their ugly head. And I think we should absolutely deal with it. And we should talk about it in January 6th. And it's becoming we haven't treated the infection. We're still trying to flush out the wound right now. But my point is that when you go out on the streets today and you go into the supermarket, sure, there may be an idiot with a stupid T-shirt on that says F. J. Biden, because that's what you need to do in a grocery store.
Let's go, Brandon.
But again, I also, you know, wear my pajamas to the grocery store, so if they want to wear their POS clothing there, I can wear my POS clothing too. I don't know. It's interesting that most people are like, yeah, this is bad. Also, and fun things, a little bit of action today. If you're in the Milwaukee area, let's say downtown Milwaukee. Today, activists have unveiled a huge manure statue of Ron Johnson. to raise climate change awareness.
Okay. Please go on.
Here's a question. What's the difference between Ron Johnson and a 180-pound heap of manure in the shape of Ron Johnson? The answer? About 4 pounds of manure.
Yeah, got him.
He's about 184 pounds. But today, they unveiled their display, Next Gen Pack and Move On, designed to expose Ron Johnson's harmful views on climate change. Because he didn't believe in it. But then he does. He just says stuff to make people like him. That's really all he's trying to do. I don't know about you guys, but I think climate change is, as Lord Monckton said, BS. You know, by the way, it is. There are more and more scientists writing books laying this to waste and question why the U.S. is so focused on climate change at all. He had an interview, look it up, on with an anchor on NBC who pushed back on the, weren't you involved in the January 6th thing? I was there for a couple seconds. Well, what if the vice president said yes? Would you still do it then?
You know he would.
What would you do with the vice president? That's not the question, sir. And he kept changing the question because he can't answer that. Because
it's bad. Because it's really, really bad. Yeah.
Just for him to just kind of like, eh, whatever. But anyway, so that's fun. So just so you know, if you wanted to, today at from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Company Brewing, 735 East Center Street in Milwaukee, 5 to 8 p.m., Rojo Must Go, they're doing an election countdown happy hour for Move On. And there's a, I can't guarantee you, but there's a, I would say there's a good chance that the, at least someone will be there to know where the statue is if the statue is not there. So if you want to see a giant statue of manure that's in the shape of Ron Johnson, maybe check the people from 5 to 8 p.m. today at Rojo Must Go at Company Brewing at 735 East Center Street in Milwaukee.
I wonder what sort of resolution we're talking, you know?
I don't know. Let's see what Pizza Box has to say. How you doing, Pizza Box? What's going on, buddy?
I'm all out of love.
I'm so lost without you.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, isn't it kind of strange, though? Yeah, whenever you talk about these serious white-collar crimes, right? And how many people it affects. There's so few of us affected by the type of violence that CJ wants to trump up, right? Oh, pun intended there, too.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why there's violence goes up and down. Now, I don't know if CJ noticed how much the violence went up during Trump's tenure, but it did go up quite a bit, okay? And there's different types of crimes that go up and down, right? So murder rates go down and burglary rates are up, that kind of thing. But you compare some of these individual crimes that we're not talking about the violent ones, let's say. But these individual crimes that people commit and the people, these white collar criminals just get away with basically, yes, murder.
Oh, you get a million. Yeah, you get a medal for stealing, $500 billion.
Look at how many people lost their homes and were screwed in 2008. If you had cash in 2008, people burning and losing all their fortunes around you was a field day for you.
Yeah, that's kind of like Mitt Romney. People still don't remember what he did to help offshore the American jobs. But hey, character doesn't matter in this country. All that does is, what color your flag is. And, everybody's playing a football game and it's made it so I don't even like football anymore.
Sure.
Dude, if you steal enough from somebody, you can go to jail for your entire life. If you steal from an entire community, in fact, ruin pensions for people all across the country,
you get promoted, man.
You could probably be a senator.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. It's like that's got to be part of your resume. That's another story,
that's right,
too.
Well, all I can tell you, Pizza Box, is here I am, the one that you love, asking for another day. And guess what? You're going to have another day, but that's going to be with somebody else tomorrow.
His name is William Walter. He's a very nice young man.
Yeah. You and William Walter are going to go and kick more ass than us, and you're going to Wally Pip us, aren't you?
Man, we'll discuss my anxieties another day.
I'm going to get pipped. It's going to be great. Oh, I hope everybody knows what I'm talking about. All right, guys, we'll talk to you later. We'll see you tomorrow. Or at least you'll hear us. It'll be great.